Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of James. James chapter 5, starting at verse 13, we'll end up going to verse 20. "Is there any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." We'll stop there and pick up the rest in a minute. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you expecting to hear a word from heaven. Help us to break the bread of life. Help us to study the Word of God and understand it, that Jesus Christ would be more real to us than he's ever been through the teaching of your Word. Please help those that are listening, and we're careful to give Jesus Christ all the credit. And in his wonderful and matchless name we pray. Amen. I preached a few weeks ago from 2 Kings when Naaman the leper was sent with a letter to the king of Israel, and the Syrian king said, "Hey, we heard thus and so. I'm sending my servant. He's got leprosy, but here, I'm giving you a gift. All this money, all this loot would have you heal him." And the king's response, the king of Israel says, I can't do that. But the prophet came and said, "Yeah, but God can. God can. And let that other king know that there is a prophet in Israel." And this message tags on to that one. I believe that God cares for you. God cares for every one of his children. Now, overall, you can say that God loves everyone on planet Earth. That's why Jesus came to die, although few will come to him. Jesus died for all. So he demonstrated his love even for the sinner and those that curse his name. But God has a special love for those that trust in his Son. And Jesus has a special love for those that will do his commandments. And James here is showing the love and care of God for His church. He said, is any afflicted, any troubled, any bothered with this or that, you know, the rent's going to come due in a few days and I don't have the money for it, don't know where that's going to come from. Man, everybody's got troubles. I could sit here and list all kind of things. If you're afflicted, God says, pray. Bring your needs to God. He's able to do something. He's able to do something. Can't tell you what He's going to do, but God is able. Put your trust in Him. Bring your needs to God. Then He says, is any merry? I don't got troubles. I'm happy. Then let him sing psalms or hymns or what have you. Choruses that he learned at church, what have you. Let him praise God in song. And he says, is any sick among you? The answer, the apostle says, is to call for the elders of the church. The elders, the pastors, the bishops, what have you. It's all the same word. A bishop and an elder and a pastor, it's all the same thing in Greek. Or maybe call one of the deacons, if your church has deacons that are involved in ministry. If you're sick, get the pastor on the phone. Say, look, you know, come on down to the hospital, what have you. Now, maybe you're not in the hospital. Just call and ask the pastor to pray regardless. I don't know what kind of church you go to. I go to a Pentecostal church. Oftentimes we have a time of prayer. If I'm sick, I go to the front, say, Pastor, you know, pray for me too. Got such and such a problem. He may lay hands upon me or what have you. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Let me say that again. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Some churches, God never heals anyone. I believe that there are many sick in every church, or most churches that would have you. But people don't believe God for healing anymore. It's usually not done. But he said, and he gives these lists, if you're afflicted, got a problem, pray. If you're happy, if you're merry, got something to sing about, then sing about it. Praise God. And if you're sick, then ask the pastor to pray for you. It's one of his jobs. One of his jobs. We're going to get to another one in a minute. But it says, the Word of God says, and it usually does not lie, and of course I'm being facetious. Titus chapter 1 verse 2 says, God cannot lie. And if you believe that this is the Word of God, and it is, then trust Him. And as we'll develop later on, it's the pastor's job to help you to trust in God. It's called sanctification, called growing in grace, many different terms probably. But it's the pastor's job to help those in the pew. Not to just get up there and preach, although that's certainly one way of helping, but to hold your hand and pray for you when you're sick. But let's read on. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. But look what it says. And if he have committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. That's a wonderful promise. You're sick, You get up the nerve to go ask the pastor, please pray for me. The Bible says you'll be healed. And if you have any sins that you committed recently or what have you, God will forgive you. And you say, well, I don't see how it goes together. You will in a minute. But look at the kindness of God. The loving kindness of God. You're sick. You may have insurance. You may not. You may have something that can't be cured by modern medicine, like diabetes or what have you. If you're sick, pray. May have to go once, may have to go 100 times, but continue to believe God that He would heal you. Oh, and by the way, if you committed some sin, God will forgive you. Again, God's care and loving kindness and graciousness to the church and His people. But then it goes on. Confess your faults one to another, here in verse 16, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. We just read that if you're sick, go to the pastor and say, Pastor, I got such and so problem. You know, it bothers me, whatever, and when I do this or though, like the old joke, you know, you go to the doctor and says, Doctor, it hurts when I raise my arm. The doc says, well, don't raise your arm. Well, no. God is able to heal. But you have to pray. If you don't believe God can heal, or if you don't believe that God heals anymore today, maybe God forgot how or something, then you won't be healed. If you don't exercise faith, now I'm not talking about the faith nonsense they got on television. Forget that nonsense. That's not faith anyhow. But you should bring your problems to God. And he says, go to the pastor and have him pray. But in verse 16, he says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. You see, there's a progression. Again, we're talking about God's loving kindness. And you know, one of the gifts, it says in Ephesians that the ministry is a gift to the church. The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, and the pastor and his pastoral staff, the teacher, what have you. The fourfold ministry. They're gifts to the church, to help the church. And it's the pastor's job to help you, to teach you. Preaching of the miracles of the Old Testament, perhaps. Teaching of the deliverance, perhaps. When Israel got into a jam, they repented. They asked God to help, and God helped on the battlefield. So many times, so many examples in Scripture of God's goodness and kindness and His deliverance. But it's His job to teach you of these things and get you to the point where you believe that God can help you. And once you've sufficiently grown in the faith, you realize, well, you know, maybe I don't have to go to the pastor. You know, I'm friends with so-and-so, and we have coffee together on Tuesday or whatever. You know, we read the Bible and pray or whatever. Why don't we pray for each other? Because the pastor's not the one that heals anyhow. Jesus heals. You can confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. And he said, if two or more are gathered in my name, I'm there in the midst. Then pray for one another. Jesus is there. Jesus can heal you. You understand the progression here? Someone learning about God, learning about the things of God, learning to trust in God, and then realizing, hey, I can pray myself. Don't have to necessarily have the pastor pray for me. I learned how to pray for myself. And he says in a few verses here that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Then he testifies of Elias or Elijah prayed that it would not rain. And it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And then he prayed again, and it rained. That's a great and powerful miracle, that God would honor the prayers of a man, a prophet, that it wouldn't rain for 3.5 years. And when he decided, okay, it's time, then he prayed, and it began to rain again. That's amazing. That's amazing. And again, God gives the Old Testament and the New to help us to learn about God, to help us to learn to trust God. And that's what this testimony is about. But he goes on in verse 19 and 20. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, or stray from the truth, you've been sitting on the couch watching false teachers too much, and you began to believe wrong things, and your soul is in danger. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converts a sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. There's the idea of forgiveness of sins again. If a Christian errs from the truth, strays and begins to believe false doctrine, then somebody comes along and is able to get through to him, and hey, let's turn the TV off and let's get back to the Bible and believe the book for what it actually says. And that person comes back to God. God is able to do something. God is able to bring that person back, to save that soul from death, it says, and hell. And she'll hide a multitude of sins. You know, Jesus forgave sins. In Luke chapter 5, kind of running out of time, I'll have to hurry a bit. But it says in verse 17 of Luke chapter 5 that it came to pass on a certain day that, as Christ was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, and it says that the power of the Lord was present to heal them. The Holy Spirit was there in, I don't know if he was in a synagogue or he was on the side of a hill or in the marketplace. I don't know where he was, but it says that Jesus was teaching and the Pharisees and the doctors of the law, maybe the Sadducees too, I don't know. And all of these people from every town of Galilee, it says, and Judea and Jerusalem, they were all there listening. And the Holy Spirit was there, the power of God was there, and present, and ready, and able, and willing to heal them. And it tells the story of, and we've heard this story, there was a guy that was in bed, and his friends tried to bring him, that Jesus would pray for him, lay hands on him, what have you, and that he would be healed. And they couldn't get to him. There were just too many people. And it says that these guys, they went on the top of the house, and things were different back then. Kind of a thatched roof, what have you. They didn't have construction like we do now. But they made a hole in the roof. They got some ropes and tied him on the stretcher, whatever, and let him down. And Jesus, of course, healed the man. You know, any time anybody in the Bible ever went to Jesus and said, please heal me, they went away healed. If they came in on a bed, they walked out carrying the bed. Jesus heals the sick. I want to say that again. Jesus heals the sick. And he hasn't forgotten how to do it. But it says that when he saw their faith, the faith of the guys that tore open the roof in verse 20, he said unto him, the guy in the bed, "Man, your sins are forgiven. Man, thy sins are forgiven thee." Again, it's the same idea we started out here in James, that the elders of the church pray, and if he committed any sins, they'll be forgiven him. When Jesus did this, again, the Pharisees were trying to catch him, trip him up, and discredit him. Jesus took the opportunity to demonstrate that he was God come in the flesh. Man was sick. Man couldn't get up off his bed or whatever, cot or whatever it was. And instead of healing him, he says, "Man, your sins are forgiven." And the Pharisees had cows. They said he's blaspheming God. And all of this stuff, they got all bent out of shape. And Jesus said, "You know, I could have said, rise up and walk. It's just as easy to say, your sins are forgiven, or rise up and walk. Same number of words, could say one or the other. But I said, your sins are forgiven. So, in verse 24, that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." Then he turned around and said to the guy laid on that bed, "I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine house." And it says, immediately he rose up in front of everybody, took up the bed, and went on home, glorifying God, it says. And everybody there, verse 26, they all glorified God too. Again, Jesus is demonstrating his deity by saying, "Hey dude, your sins are forgiven," which the Pharisees were right. God is the one that forgives sins. And they said that Jesus saying something about him being able to forgive sins is blasphemy. But healing the man with a word demonstrated that what he said, "Your sins are forgiven," was right and true, and that Jesus had that power. Again, he's Emmanuel, God with us, God come in the flesh. Again, he was demonstrating his deity. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, it says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." We're ambassadors for Jesus. We go in his place. Remember, he's in heaven. He sent the Holy Ghost to give us power, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But it's our job to preach Christ and to tell sinners, hey, you need to get right with God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, it says that we were given the ministry of reconciliation. And I can give other verses, but let's go back to where we started. James chapter 5, we saw that the apostle was encouraging Christians, if you got a problem, go get your pastor and pray. Then as you learn, as you grow, as you begin to trust God, you realize you don't need the pastor, you and your buddy can pray together. Okay, that's fine. But then let's not forget our ministry, that we have to win the lost. We have to save souls. We have to warn people that there's judgment coming and that through us, God can forgive sins if we will go. In Matthew chapter 28, he says, "All power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Go ye therefore and teach all nations." It's not just the pastor. It's not just the evangelist. It's not just the missionary. It's you. When you have an opportunity, tell somebody about the Lord. And hey, you went to your pastor when you were sick and you got healed. You learned and then you got together with another believer and you got healed. Well, when you're ministering to the lost, if they've got troubles, pray for them. If they're sick, pray for them. The same God that heals the Christian can heal the sinner. You've got the ministry of reconciliation. Make full proof of your ministry. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.